1 o'clock. Go ahead and introduce yourself, sir.
My name is Louis Como. I was born March 5th, 1927 in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. I received my bachelor's degree from Penn State in 1952. I was here as a Penn State freshman in 1948-1949, and I went on to State College.
Okay.
I got a master's degree from the University of Pittsburgh in 1966.
Okay. Could you talk about your affiliation with Slippery Rock, kind of from the beginning?
I was hired here in July of 1966 as an assistant acquisitions librarian. In the acquisitions department under Mr. Louis Rosano, who was the acquisitions librarian, and Helmrich, who was the director of the library.
Was that in this building, or was that still
in the building? No, I was in the Maltby building.
In Maltby, okay.
Library.
So you've worked in both buildings?
Correct.
Do you have any fond memories of Maltby or this one that you'd like to share?
I have memories. I would say the one that I want to mention is being fond. It was the move from Maltby to Bailey Library. The decision was made to hire professional movers to move the large collection we had at that time, fairly large, and the professional movers decided to hire students to help them move, and that was a tragic mistake, because the students he hired were terrible, really terrible. Edna King and I and Gene Neff were in charge of the move. Gene Neff was in charge of putting the books into the boxes and marking them accordingly where they should go in the library in the new building. And then Akeen and I were in charge of unpacking the books and make sure they were placed on the shelf properly. And these students were in a sad, sad situation.
Do you remember what year that was, that move?
1972.
Okay.
72, 73.
Era we have here, that's kind of a transitional period because we have the move from the teachers' college to the state college to the university. Do you remember any specific events or feelings during those changes, those crossovers?
No special feelings. I remember when we went to university status, the president at the time, can't think of his name right now. He had a special celebration scheduled at midnight of the day of the day when the change would come about. So they had a big celebration outside in the parking lot. I wasn't there, but I remember about it. That's the thing I remember about his changes in university status.
Okay, you're actually the first library person that we've had in here. Was there, we've heard about the teachers, you know, the changes they experienced going to the university level, but were there any changes in the library system from state college to university?
No, there was no real change.
Okay. The department you were hired into, you mentioned the move, but how did the library change over those years in terms of, you know, staff and director and kind of philosophy?
Well, the biggest change, if you want to call it that, was in the funding of the library. But the president who was in charge when I came here, Dr. Carter, he was a library-oriented person.
Okay.
And he, every chance he got, he funneled funds into the library because the collection was sad at the time. And because of his push and impetus and interest, the library budget increased tremendously, and we really had to work hard to spend the money, because at that time, according to the accounting system that the state had, if the college did not spend their funds at the end of the fiscal year, we would go back to Harrisburg. Mm. And of course he was against that, and I don't blame him. Why should we send money back to Harrisburg when we got money here which we can use? Mm-hmm. So instead of at the end of the But 1 month before the end of the fiscal year, he would gather all the funds that was available in a certain budget and give it to the library. And we had to spend that within that 3 or 4 week period, or else the funds would revert back to Harrisburg. Mm-hmm. And we went crazy trying to spend those funds. And after a while, I decided that we, myself and Mr. Rosano, who was the acquisitions librarian, decided to have the library orders ready in case we did get those additional funds, so that we could send them out right away, because 2 or 4 weeks' time wasn't enough money, enough time to spend all those funds.
Mm-hmm.
So we had special categories, books we need, books we'd like to have, nice butt, that was the third category.
Yeah.
And sometimes we got to use those, purchase those books because of the large amount of funds that we received. If I remember correctly, the high mark year, as far as funds is concerned, was $500,000.
Hmm.
It was a lot of money.
Yeah.
Usually it was between $200,000 and $300,000, which still was a lot of money. So it was in the spring, it was a real rat race trying to get all those funds spent. And like one of colleague mentioned at the time, the trouble is you order all these books, but they come in. You met because of books. All these boxes coming in, we had no place to put them. We didn't have time to unpack them because we had to spend the money. We didn't have time to unpack them. And then the catalog department was way overburdened because they couldn't handle all these books. So we had to have a special place where we put these books coming in. Just a box. Then the books. Unpack the boxes, put them on the shelves. And then after a while, when finally the catalog department started to catch up, we had to put the books on the floor in the library because there was no more room on the shelves. So it was quite a traumatic time for us.
Do you remember where that, you said you kept the books separate, do you remember where that was? Was that in the building?
Yeah, in the building, in our department, the acquisition department, which was a narrow room. And my desk was right here, and the boxes were piled up here.
So you had this always...
Right there. I remember one. Somebody, an uninstructional woman by there, used to go out our office to go to lunch, and they would say, "What a mess." And I heard that. And she was right.
It seems like, you know, Maltby is such a small building compared to this, that, you know, you need all those books. Do you remember, was there a sense of kind of freedom that we have, you know, that we have all this room, or, as you said, were you worried that we have all this space to fill?
You mean in here?
Yeah.
Sort of, but like I say, by the time we got all those books cataloged, this place started to fill up too.
Mm-hmm.
And was sooner than we had expected, we started to think about enlarging the building, which never happened.
Okay, you mentioned the president was very, you know, he's library oriented, so you had a lot of help. Do you remember any times where the library was kind of put on the back burner? Do you remember any periods like that?
Not really. In my last 8 years, I'd say, the book budget started to decline.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't as busy as we had been earlier.
Yeah.
I remember one time I had 7 non-instructional working for me. And then at the end, when I retired, I had 3.
Hmm.
And one was a new position, so actually 2, as far as ordering goes.
Okay. You mentioned you worked in Maltby and, of course, here at Bailey. Did you work in the other buildings on campus while you were here?
No, although the library had to have another building where we used the one large room for part of the collection.
Okay.
In the... What's the name of the building? I don't remember the name of the building now. World Culture Building, I think it was.
Oh, okay. All right. First impressions of the university when you got here, you said you went to some other schools, so you had kind of a different perspective. A lot of the people we interview went to school here, grew up here, and then worked here. So mm-hmm. What were your thoughts when you first came?
Like I said, I was here for 1 year as a student. And it was a very attractive campus, close-knit community, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we would eat in North Hall, and our evening meal, you had to dress up, suit, sports coat, whatever, with a tie, and you were assigned seats in the dining hall. And every couple of weeks, you moved to another table, and there was a hostess there. So it was pretty neat.
Yeah, different.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds very different. you said that, you know, that's kind of changed. What changes did you witness while you were a student? Is there anything you remember happening that, you know, one week you did something, the next week, you know, you didn't have to do that anymore, and that became a standard for years to come?
The changes I recall, I was living in town with my brother. After the first semester, he transferred to the University of Notre Dame. Then I moved on campus to South Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Now South Hall is no longer here. That's the only change I can say.
Okay. Campus activities in terms of committees or anything like that, were you involved in anything like that?
Well, I was on committees. Department committees, campus committees, faculty council.
Okay. Do you remember anything that, you know, certain motions that your committees put into order that you're particularly proud of?
I don't remember any specific thing that our committee did, but I remember about President Carter was given no voting confidence, if that was what you're talking about, if you're interested in. The night of the faculty meeting, which was in Miller Auditorium, was a very anxious night for all, because everybody knew what was going to happen if they got a chance to do it, because President Carter ran the meeting, which was a faculty meeting, but he ran it anyway, and usually he just allowed what he wanted discussed to be discussed. But one faculty member got up at the meeting, and the tension was really something, believe me, and he made a motion that there no confidence vote be given. And before the president could do anything, somebody else got up and seconded the motion. So then the president says, okay, we'll have a hand vote, which would have been terrible, because nobody was going to, no, most people would not have voted against for the motion.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody quickly got up and said he wanted the secret ballot.
Yes.
You know, a second, and then that was it. The secret ballot, the no confidence vote was overwhelming. And then right after the vote, the president reached in his jacket, suit coat, and pulled out a letter, and he read it, and he resigned. He was prepared. In other words, somebody had told him ahead of time this was going to happen, so in case it happened, he was prepared to say that I resigned. And he resigned. And the tension was terrific, and a lot of rumors going around campus for weeks. And of course, there were people who were against the no confidence vote, and there were arguments and discussions. And I remember one professor from the philosophy department came into the acquisitions department, and he started talking to me and Mr. Rosano and the director of the library, who was Dr. Carter's friend. In fact, he got the job through Dr. Carter, and they started to argue. It got a little bit testy, and so it was a very trying time.
Yeah.
So then the governor appointed an acting president. I don't recall his name now. And the acting president, one of the things that caused the straw that broke the camel's back was the fact that was time for promotions, and the campus-wide committee recommended so many people, and the president just promoted a couple persons.
Mm.
And that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Anyway, the person who was selected by the governor to be acting president until they got a new president was one of the persons on that promotion list who was not promoted. So the first thing he did when he became acting president was to promote everybody on the list, which was recommended by the campus-wide committee, and I agreed with it.
Okay. Was that still whenever the political party of the management in Harrisburg, you know, determined who would be the presidents of the universities, is that right?
Yeah. There was no faculty union then.
So what was the general, was it, you know, were the party lines still visible amongst the faculty and staff? You know, they would take sides on who they supported as president, things like that?
Yes, it was quite a bit of discussion as who would be selected, who would be interviewed, and so forth. And during the interviews, people would attend, the faculty members mostly. And there was a lot of rumors going around who was going to be picked. And they finally picked Dr. Wattrell.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on, I don't remember how many years he was president, and then he was fired because of some funds, which we use inappropriately, I guess. It had to do with the football stadium.
Okay.
That building behind the stadium there, it overlooks the field.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently, Dr. Luttrell used funds which were in another area, which was inappropriate. It got blown up out of proportion. And when you read it in the paper, you think that he stole money or something like that. No. Actually, he just used funds from another budget. That's
yeah. Okay. You mentioned a couple different presidents. Do you remember some of the other presidents, and do you have any memories of them, you know, personally? You
talk about? Dr. Luttrell, and he was fired, and then the governor appointed an interim president, not acting president, interim president, Dr. His name. He was at another sister institution, state institution,
Roberts.
No. And he had 2 years to go before he retired, so the governor appointed him the interim president, and in the meantime, they started the search for a new president.
Okay. Do you remember any important people to you on campus in terms of experienced staff that kind of helped you along, anyone like that?
The person who stands in my mind is Mr. Rosano. He helped me get the job here because we met in graduate school at the University of Pittsburgh. And then he called me and told me that there was an assistant acquisitions position opening in the library. Was I interested? I was ready to go to another institution in Maryland. But then he talked me into getting the interview, and I came here and had the interview, and finally I got the position here as his assistant.
Were you originally from the area? Are you local in Pennsylvania? Or
from Aliquippa.
Okay. So there seems to be a lot of people that worked here that kind of grew up in Slippery Rock. Was that, did you see any kind of a, were they welcoming to you, or is it kind of standoffish because you weren't from the area?
Not on campus, but in the community. It was that standoffish feeling, and if you're not born here, you're not part of the community. Even though we had lived here 30 years, our children went to the school system. We shopped in the area. We paid our taxes. We kept up our property. We never got into any kind of trouble and so on and so forth. Went to church and all that kind of stuff. And still people, you know, it's amazing. Some people are. Because you weren't born here, you're an outsider.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
Yes, it is.
It's hard to believe. Okay, do you remember any major events that happened here in terms of kind of national significance or things on campus from trying times in our country?
Yes, I remember when the chapel was a beautiful building next to North Hall. When the decision was to tear that building down, it was a sad day. I realized it would cost a lot of money to refurbish it, and they weren't sure what to do with it after they did spend that money. But I remember we lived across the street there, and you could see them tearing the building down the day that they brought that derrick with the ball and started hitting the building. That was a sad day, because that was a beautiful building, and it would have been nice if they could have saved it.
We had Norma Lochner say she was, you know, started some committees to save the chapel, and she said there just wasn't the support from the alumni that they had hoped for. So
there was. It was a sad decision.
Did you were people upset that, you know, what was there was just a parking lot afterwards? Was there any talk of what they do with it? You know, to kind of ease tension, say we'll take it down, but we'll do something else.
Well, I don't know if there wasn't anything that eased the tension, but people were unhappy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you remember any other sort of building projects on campus? You know, that you were in favor of or against, like something like a chapel.
Well, I remember the Vincent Science Hall, which was being built when I came here. And the library was being built too, but the Vincent Science Hall was more advanced.
Mm-hmm.
It was an attractive building at the time. When Dr. Luttrell came, it was just finished, and he toured the building, and he was a science major. So science was his strong background. And someone told me that the president almost cried when he saw the building, because it was outdated. It was just opening up, it was already outdated.
Mm.
So there it was.
Okay. any other memorable events or memories of big things that happened that we haven't touched on yet?
President Carter moving to Beatty Library, tearing down the chapel. Well, when we hired a new director,
okay.
Mr. Helmert was the director when I came here, and then he retired. So there was a little bit of a concern about hiring a new director. So we wanted to be involved, we the library staff. So we were involved, and we interviewed the candidates, and we recommended Mr. Garten, and he was hired, which was a good thing because he came in and did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
He got along with everybody, and I was a chairperson at the time, and I had to go see him often and talk, discuss problems and moves or whatever he wanted to do, and we got along very well.
Okay.
And because of all this, everybody, in fact, the whole staff got along very well and was very happy. Environment, and we got a lot of things done.
Has the library, you know, the way it is now, has it gone in the general direction everybody seemed to want it to go in, do you think?
It's hard for me to say, but I will say it probably has. It seems to be still an attractive building, mm-hmm. even though it's, 35
yeah.
years old, 40 years old, whatever.
Okay. What, if anything, do you miss about being here? At SRU.
My colleagues, you know, sadly to say, one of my closest colleagues just passed away last week, Ed Nakeem.
Is anyone still working in the library today that you have worked with, or is it?
My former secretary, Mary Purdy.
Okay.
She worked for me for about 4 years before I retired. Mary Lou in cataloging. Mary Lou. I can't think of her last name now. And Melba,
mm-hmm.
she just retired?
Yep. Yeah, just this past couple months.
She was an instructional person. And she left, and then she went to, I think, Slippery Rock to get her bachelor's degree, and she got a job at the high school. And then she finally got her master's degree, and she was hired here right after I retired.
Hmm.
So, and she worked for me as an instructional for a while, too. So I remember her. What was the one in instructional materials? I think she moved to New Orleans. Her parents lived in New Orleans.
Del Hamilton.
Del.
Yeah.
She was hired a year before I retired. So I knew her for 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah, she just left, I think, in March.
She just retired.
Yeah.
Jessica has hired to take your place.
Yeah, Jessica. She's still here, Jessica?
Jessica Marshall?
She took my job,
yeah. Yeah, she's still here. Any words of wisdom for future current Rock community members to know?
Keep up the good work, I would say.
Well, the campus has grown so much.
Yes, it has.
Is that something you're happy to see?
Yes. The two new buildings across the way are beautiful buildings.
Mm-hmm.
When I was here, most of the buildings were not attractive. They skimped on the budget. And when I went over to our sister campuses, like in the IUP, and their buildings were beautiful. I said, look at those buildings. And the buildings we had were so poorly looking, bad looking buildings in comparison.
Yeah.
Now I see these two buildings, they're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the way it should be, a college campus.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah.
How would you like to be remembered?
Oh, as a hardworking person interested in the students, in the staff, and in building the collection for the faculty and students, which we did.
Yep.
We were one of the higher, better rated libraries in the state because of our collection.
Okay. Can I ask, you know, now it seems like everything is digital and online. What are your thoughts of that transition? Because it seems like more and more everything we're ordering is on the internet, and you know, we don't get new books as much.
I'm not too familiar with that because I'm not a library, I'm not a computer oriented person.
Mm-hmm.
But if it helps the library and the all the working and so forth, great.
Do you think any of the kind of, you know, that old library mystique is gone now? You know, going in and finding what you're looking for, and after a few minutes or hours of research. Except now you just type
it
in.
Well, that certainly has changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it certainly has changed.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add, either of you, about?
Well, I want to thank everybody for inviting me, and I was happy to come and be of service.
Thank you very much. This was a great interview. We appreciate it.